In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
A 12-year-old girl had died. A woman was suffering from bleeding for 12 years. Neither could help themselves. The dead can't sit up, ask for help, or do anything. Life is gone. At least the woman was alive. But St. Mark tells us that she had spent all that she had on doctors who only made things worse. So both are helplessly resigned to their condition. Nothing within them, nothing they do can change it. And so it was for you. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. Oh, you breathed air, your heart pumped, but you did not have Christ, so this physical life would have only resulted in eternal death. What could you do to stop it? Well, what could this girl have done to change her condition? Nothing. Nothing within you could have changed what you were by nature, for there was nothing good in you that is in your sinful nature. You were dead in your sins. This is the gift that your parents give to you. They give you a physical life that leads to eternal death. They give you sin and death and hell. And it doesn't matter who you are or who you're born to. The wages of sin is death. As death had full and complete control over this girl, so also sin had full and complete control over you. Nothing within you could change that. The woman tried her best, but the harder she tried, the worse her bleeding became. She was slowly dying. The more she tried to fix it, the harder her life became. For the more a sinner tries to fix his sins, the more sinful he becomes, and the deeper he falls into hell. So what if you're kind, loving, and gracious? So what if you're helpful? So what if you try your best? Your best is still not good enough. And your love, your help, cannot take away your sins. The more you think that you're a good person, the more sinful you actually become. Hell is filled with countless people who were good and kind and helped others and were selfless and did profound works, but their works could not stop the bleeding. And those who live by the law must die by that law. So both of these women teach you that there is nothing within you that could change what you were by nature. There is no help found within us. For there is nothing good found within us according to our nature. Your greatest virtues only speed up your path to hell. The deeper you look inside yourself, the more you realize just how sinful you are, and the more deserving of eternal death. That's true even now as a Christian. As you look inside of yourself and what you are, you must conclude that you still have nothing good in your nature, and that you still deserve eternal death and hell. And so God became man. If God were not man, whom would this woman have touched? If God were not man, who would have touched this dead girl? Neither would have been healed. Help can only come from outside. And that help is found only in the flesh and blood God. The incarnation, Christmas, is everything. It changed everything. God must have flesh and blood or else he cannot help you. Oh, he could still remove disease and give life, but he could not give life eternal. He had to have flesh and blood in order so that you might live forever. And so in faith, Jairus asked Jesus to come and touch his daughter. In faith, the woman reached out her hand to touch just the edge of his garment. Help must come from outside of them. It must come only from the flesh and blood of God. The same is still true for you. There is nothing good in you that is in your sinful nature. All help, all good things must come from outside of you, from the flesh and blood of God. If God did not have flesh and blood, who would touch your lips and take away your sin? If God did not have flesh and blood, how could he die in your place and carry your sins and give you heaven? There is no hope for you unless the cloud of Sinai wraps himself in human flesh. This alone is the God who saves. This alone is the God who gives life, and that life is a real, physical, concrete, eternal life, because your God is a real God, and now he also is a physical and concrete God. He became part of his creation to save us fallen creatures. He enters this earth so that he might take from us what is so bad and rotten. A great exchange has taken place. What you have, he now bears, and what he has, he now gives to you. So the woman touched Jesus' garment, and immediately her bleeding stopped, because his bleeding would soon begin on the cross. She was saved from her suffering because he would suffer for her. The dead girl was raised to life because Christ would take her place in the grave. In baptism, he reached out and took all that is bad and rotten from you, and he gave you all that is good and right and holy. He became the dead man. He became the snake lifted up on the pole. He became the sinner who bears your sins and suffers what you deserve, so that you might be holy and righteous in him. Behold the Lamb of God, a flesh and blood lamb who takes away the sins of the world, a substitute who gives his flesh and offers his blood in your place. If God does not have flesh and blood, how could you be saved? There is no salvation. You would be lost eternally in hell. So the God-man, Christmas, is everything. God is now man. This man is now our God. And in his suffering, in his death, we find life. He bleeds so that we might never have to shed even a drop of our own blood. Healing, life, salvation, it all comes from outside of us. I cannot stress that enough. Everything good comes from outside of us. And it comes when the flesh and blood God touches you. This is not a metaphorical way of speaking, as if God somehow just touches our soul or touches our hearts. This real God, this concrete God, born of the Virgin, suffered and died, this God, he touches you in baptism to take away your sins. If God is not present in baptism, then there is no salvation there. But God comes to you to cover you with his blood so you might be certain that all that he is, you now are. You are sons of God, heirs of heaven. You have eternal life because you are clothed in this God. If God is not man, then Holy Communion is nothing more than a simple meal that barely fills up our stomachs. But God is man. And that man God, that God man, is now present here on this altar so you may touch him and receive his life. How long did it take for the woman's bleeding to stop after she touched Jesus? How long did it take for the girl to be raised after he touched her? Immediately, the woman's bleeding stopped. Immediately, the girl was raised. And so it is for you. Here in word and sacrament, you touch God, God touches you, and immediately you receive the gifts of God. There is no waiting for off in the future. You are healed right now. You are forgiven. You are alive. You are saved. You are holy. You are righteous. You are even immortal right now. You are these things. I know we don't see them with our eyes, but you are these things because God himself does not lie. And when he acts, he gives you his gifts. Even though you still see your body bleeding, even though you still see sin plaguing you, you also see Christ who has borne your sin and who bled in your place. Even though you still know the grave is somewhere off in your future, you see his grave. It is empty. He is not there. He is risen. So too must you rise. Death cannot be the final say over anything. And so you live by faith. Because you do not see these things, you live by faith, not by sight. Yet you have all of them right now as your possession in Christ. Because when Christ acts, he gives you his eternal blessings. And so the girl was only sleeping. She was not dead, but only asleep, for Christ came to raise her. And so your loved ones who have died in Christ, they too are only resting. And the same will be for you. You are only sleeping. The same thing will be said over you. Death cannot have the final say, for Christ entered death with his body and ripped open death's jaws with his body and walked out of the grave with his body so that you might be certain of your life. You cannot die. You must live. No one is scared to go to sleep at night. So also no one should fear death. Do not fear this little rest we call death. Curl up in the arms of your pierced Savior. Rest in his compassion and goodness. He will not let you fall into eternal death. He will give you life, for his flesh is your life. Curl up, dear Christians, in the arm of him who was laid in your grave. Let his death surround you and his empty grave be your life. Do not fear death, for to die is gain. Do not fear the process of death either, for you do not fear the process of falling asleep. But when night comes, you rest from your labors. So also when death comes, you will rest from your hard labors in this world. So curl up, dear daughters of God. Curl up in the arms of him whose baptismal touch has already raised you to a full and complete eternal life, and whose body and blood continue to touch your lips to take away your sin and to give you his salvation. It all must come from outside of you. It all comes from Christ, from his flesh and blood. And here in word and sacrament, you touch your God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.